All right, recording. All right, 702 called to order now that we've got on the recording. Any public comment? Okay, next administrative thing is honestly, guys, I was really struggling to put together meaningful minutes given the depth of our conversations. I really just kind of did one-liner minutes for the past minutes, just to summarize that, you know, we've been talking about the service life and financial modeling and so forth. So I didn't go into any detail on the minutes, but I did put up all the previous minutes that were overdue with just sort of a one-liner cover all. So unless anybody objects to that approach and wants more detailed minutes, I'll have to go back and kind of piece it all together. But whatever you guys are comfortable with, I'll do. I don't know. We can put we can. I mean, the draft minutes are out there, but if you want to wait till next time, we can. You guys can noodle on that and decide how you want to go with, you know, what you want to do on the minutes. But I didn't want to delay any more getting them out there.
So when you say they're out there, Scott, I'm sorry, I just don't know.
Oh, they're on the, if you go to the town website and then under I'll just send you guys a link just to keep it simple so you don't have to go hunting around for it. So I'm gonna
I'm just curious, Scott, where would that be on the town website? Because I was looking for the link to this meeting on there too.
Yeah, the link's coming to you right now.
Okay.
So it's the Capital Planning Committee's page on the website.
Huh.
And it's got our previous stuff up there and all the meeting agendas and minutes and recordings and all that.
Hunter, you got to go to select board and then go to committees, and then our committee comes up.
Yeah,
Ah, got it. Got it. Okay, I couldn't find that. Okay, I got it.
Anyway, you guys, if you want to noodle on that and decide what you think is best, like I said, I just didn't want to
Yeah,
wait any.
thanks, John, for steering me to that.
And as far as agenda review, pretty much the same agenda as we've been going through the last few times. Are there any additions, subtractions, anything you want to specifically talk about tonight that we should get on the agenda? Okay. All right. Without further ado, then let's dive in. Neil, so I think just to kind of tee things up here, Neil sent, I think as everybody probably saw, a revised variation of John's spreadsheet. And I'm actually gonna, in John's previous spreadsheet, John Ricketson's previous spreadsheet, there's a couple of important tabs I think we should talk about. And I would like to suggest that we, and John, I can let you drive, but I'm gonna pull it up here. I can't, John Ricketson, what's the name of that tab on the
It's
other
the
spreadsheet?
rightmost one, the called long-term compare example.
Okay.
That's one you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Why don't I make you presenter for a moment so you can do that because you're better at it than I am. I think this is a good place to start off for tonight, just to help do a level set. So you've got
Got
the
it.
one.
Got it. Okay. So this will be quick, and then I think we should jump to Neil's spreadsheet because I do think that's also very instructive, and that's the specific numbers of the vehicles we're talking about. This is just an example. But before I even go there, sorry about the Neil, sorry about questioning the class to the grader or the loader. I forget which one it was, but anyway, that was my mistake. I looked at the
wrong. Not a problem.
you had it to the dollar. So, well done. So this is something I had put together last week and shared it out. And there's a whole lot of examples down here, but let's just look at this first 10 rows here or so. It's just a simple example to show over a long period of time. I think one of our conversations has been, you know, okay, those numbers look good for 10 years, you know, but what about 15? And so now we have that in Neil's spreadsheet, which is great. But this one even answers the question, well, what happens in 20 and 25 and 30 and 30, you know, where does this thing go? So this is just a very simple example where you can put in basically any dollar amount here you want. This would be the net, okay? Not the gross. No, we're not worried about trade-ins or anything here. This is just the net amount that you're gonna spend. I did it for 200,000, it's a nice round number. And I did this assuming a 5-year either save up or a 5-year loan. So it compares the two. So in this case, I'm saying we save in years 1 through 5 and we buy it in 5. That's the save numbers. And I'll explain those in a second. And on the buy numbers, we buy it in year 5 and we pay for it in years 5 through 9. Now you talk about, you know, there might be another scenario where you save for it in years, I don't know, 0 through 4, or you pay your, anyway, you can shift either of those, the pay, you know, the loan or the save up, one to the left, one to the right. And that's what the examples below do. And they all more or less come out the same. So this is just, let's stay with this example. So I took the 200,000 and, you know, we've talked about time value of money here. So in the save row here, row 6, to get to 200,000 in 5 years, you actually don't need 40,000 a year. Right? That would, you know, 200,000 by 5 would be 40. You actually need to put away 39,208 if you're saving 1% compounded annually on that money. You take 39,208 compound annual for 5 years, you get 200,000. So that's, you know, that's what the save up would suggest you would need to get the 200. And then on the pay, which has to do, which would be the loan, right? That's this row 7, I'm sorry, row 8, can't read. This would be the loan payment on 200,000. And I put a loan rate in at 3%. We can set it to 4 or 2, whatever you like. And it would be 43,000 for 5 years. So just in this box here, it's really just comparing 5-year save up to a 5-year loan payment. No question, right? It's about over $4,000 difference between 39,208 and 43,671, 4,463 to be exact. And so you say, well, clearly, you know, a loan's more expensive. What I'm trying to show here is that in these 9 years, and I think it also comes out in Neil's spreadsheet that we'll jump to 1 minute, I promise, is that if you look at this each year and you do the cumulative, you see that you start to accumulate, and there's no surprise here, you're accumulating this savings, basically. It's, you know, it's, you're paying out less money in the loan scenario, because you don't have to pay anything in those first 4 years. And then it starts to go down in year 5, the difference. And it'll go down a little bit for a long time, because that, this $2,000 difference. So here's the reason why the difference in years, say 6 and beyond, goes down, is because the amount you gotta save is on the more expensive vehicle. It's the one in the future. So that 200 becomes 210
in 5 years. So now you got to save 41,000, but you're paying 43.6 in that same year. So the delta in that year is 2,400. So that 2,400 starts to chip away at this accumulated savings you got, and it'll chip away at it for a long time. And it's all based on these rates. So we can change those rates and you'll see it'll chip away at it faster or slower, right? In this case, with those rates, it doesn't become, you don't chip away at all of it until 49 years later. So I just wanted to show that we could, I could show you what it looks like at, you know, 5%. Let's see there. You know, you're good for 30 years before it catches up with you. So that definitely makes a difference, right? And then you can also play with the inflation rate and the savings rate. If you don't think you're gonna earn 1%, because I don't think we are earning 1% these days, that's actually gonna mean you gotta save more, not less, right? And then the inflation rate is just gonna make the next vehicle and the next vehicle more expensive. It affects both models equally, really. So that's it. That's my only kind of math lesson. I think, you know, when you do this for 8 vehicles, some 5 years, some 7 years, and different purchase dates, of course the numbers get, you know, they get complicated, but this concept applies for each of those vehicles. It doesn't change, doesn't go away.
So John, I have a question. I'm just so does this model then depend on us saving 39,208 starting this year toward that to make that work and start going down in the future?
And then
when we get to, you know, year 5, we purchase the vehicle, and then we're paying a loan right after that. But it really relies on us doing 39,208 until we get up to that purchase date.
Yeah. So and you wouldn't do both, right? You'd do one or the other. So this is just saying, you know, in the save scenario, this is how much you got to put away each year. In the loan scenario, this is how much you got to put away each year. Not put away. Well, save is put away. Loan is pay out, but either way, you know, you're.
So I guess I'm just wondering, I'm a little confused because we just bought some trucks, right? So is one way of thinking that we don't pay anything until year 5 and then we just start lease payments, or I'm just wondering how that.
I think this is where the flattening, when we jump over to Neil's spreadsheet, This is where you look at all the equipment added up.
Yeah.
This is where the flattening concept comes into play, I think.
Got it. Yeah, because that makes sense. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
But the takeaway is, at least the takeaway that I had, is that you're kind of in this isolated example, anytime you're buying a single piece of equipment, the save up versus the lease, you have this short period where you actually have, you're accumulating a benefit.
A surplus,
that the financing chips away at over time. And then it's an extent, it goes out quite a ways until you get to a positive number. And that, in all likelihood, is probably the strongest reason why financing is attractive to a lot of organizations, because of that phenomena.
So I'm happy to give back the screen unless there's any more questions.
Well, John, you want to just go ahead and since you're there, you want to drive and put up Neil's spreadsheet?
Sure.
And then you guys, Neil, why don't you and Neil kind of take turns there leading us through the the numbers. How's that sound?
So this is Neil's, but I think I threw a couple of numbers in it. So it's probably, this was when I was questioning. So this is, I'm going to close this one. So let me start. I don't want to drag you guys through all my emails. Let me open up Neil's. Neil, you sent that when?
Today?
Today. I have too many emails, I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Sorry. Sorry for this delay. Neil, there we go. There it is. Got it. All right, go back and share my screen. Here we go. So, and Neil, please, I'm
hear me.
Yeah, does that look right?
Nobody can hear me. Can anybody hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, good. It doesn't show on my screen that I'm speaking, that's all. I don't know. I think I got this webcam thing figured out. So it's pretty self-explanatory, I think. The 1A and the 2B are both have the same years of keeping the trucks 5 years, loader 10, grader 14, excavator and tractor 15, and in the first one, we're buying it. In the second one, we're financing it.
So I think, Neil, if I could add, we had an example we were tossing around before where we compared the save up to the loan with these same funding period years, but we realized that you're not going to get a loan for that many years. So yeah. That one didn't make sense.
My mistake to put that in there. I mean, that's just the way it is when you're working with old people.
I'm not blaming you, Neil. I'm not blaming you. I think I just created a pair of each.
Yeah, I think that was to do apples to apples. And then logically, when it didn't make sense, it was better just to pull it out.
So then the next two down there are the Woodstock 7-7 save up or loan. And the other thing that I did on this was that level funding calculator, little cell down there, that automatically puts, when you put in 140, it puts 140,000 into the amount from taxes that you would raise, and then you see what your reserve account is. And I use that to just play with the number until I get all positive reserve balances when we're going out across. And it's easy for 10 years, but when you look at the 2032 to 2037 period, when you add that in there, it gets pretty sticky. It's that second grader, for instance, is it breaks the bank.
Well, right. I think not that it isn't important to do out to 2037, but it does start to get a little bit speculative going out that far, and who knows what the world looks like, but it is helpful to go out that far just to see how the numbers shake out. I played around with your level funding calculator as well. And, you know, it's not too difficult to come up with level funding number that takes the brunt out of those numbers out into the future.
Yeah, there's 160, for example. I just guessed that 150. you know, you'd still start to get in trouble out there, but.
Right. But, you know, it's not orders of magnitude between a number that gets you to a safer place to one that's in parentheses is not orders of magnitude bigger.
That was a nice feature, Neil, by the way. I like that. That's cool.
Well, I've always operated under the premise that the select board would like to put together a budget that doesn't bounce all over the place. And so that's where I'm coming from.
Right.
I think the other numbers in either of these examples, if we're going to compare, whether it's these two at the top or these two at the bottom, are when you look at how much the town has paid out in that 16 years, I guess it is. And the counter argument to that, I understand, is, yeah, but after 16 years, we've still got some debt beyond that. And no question, I'm not arguing that. But if you just look at how much the town has paid out cumulatively over those 16 years, it's a pretty big difference. And the top two as well, you know, 2.9 versus 2.2, really almost 3 million versus 2.5 million.
So one thing that you could do in addition to this is to look at the difference or look at the amount of revenue that you would need in that 2032 to 37 period. And the reason I looked at that was I wanted to make sure that when we got the next grader at 14 years, that we were prepared for it. And that's the only reason for running it out that far. If we get it in 2023, then it would, the next one at 14 years would be 2037. And whatever you do with the reserve, you need to make sure that or plan on doing something out there at 2037.
Right.
So right. is it unreasonable to think that, you know, I know, you know, a consistent number from year to year is a desirable thing, but I mean, could we think about you know, looking at a 1% increase to that number a year or something like that, so that it tracks with inflation.
Hunter, we actually, if you think back to our last couple of models, mm-hmm. that's actually what we did. We plotted in, there was a gradual increase in the amount each year, just to bump it up a little bit each year to get it to where it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, that would be an easy thing. That would just be reformulating row 14, for example.
Because that could potentially bring the number down in the beginning, right?
Right, exactly. So yep, you could have kind of a step up effect. Bringing it down in the beginning and ramping it up.
Right.
Well, there's already inflation built into the prices for the equipment.
Right. So wouldn't you want to match that with, you know, our contribution, our taxes, tax contribution? Wouldn't that want to track that inflation as well at some level?
Right.
Right. Because like 175,000 and you're 2032 is going to be worth a whole lot less than it is in 2022.
Yeah, you could figure it. You could like add up all these 175s and then, you know, which is 2.8 million, figure out what at say 1%, what your payment would be to get to that 2.8 million over 16 years. And you're right, you'd probably end up starting out at 150, I'm making it up, and end up at 200 or something like that.
Right.
The only wrinkle with that, and that would work, but there is a little wrinkle in 23 and 25 where you've got to put some fudge number in addition to that for those 3 years to make up for the those negative numbers, that 161. Mm-hmm. So you'd have to tack on 161, I guess, divided by three onto whatever that number is you would put in there.
I think you got a good point, Hunter. The other thing you might consider doing is have it be fixed for 5 years and then jump it and keep it fixed for the next five.
Yeah.
You could do it that way as well.
Well, the thing is, though, let's see, I'm just looking at this. The so that deficit of 91,854 in 2025 could actually increase a little bit if it needed to, because we don't need to make a purchase until 2027, and it looks like we're going to be 107 ahead at the current model anyway. So you see what I'm saying? I mean,
well, you're taking two purchases in 25, though.
Okay. Right, and so that gives us a $91,000 deficit.
Right.
$92,000. But we're not making another purchase until 2027 up there at the top, right, of 150.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have beginning balance. We've already got 83 as a beginning balance at 2027. So I'm saying we could rack up a slightly higher deficit in 2025 and still maybe be okay.
The other thing that could happen is you got those two trucks that you're buying in 2025, depending upon when you get delivery. Maybe one comes in earlier than the other. So one's in one fiscal year, the other one might pop into fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
26, so it may not be an issue.
Well, it would also make sense on, say, truck number two to just run it 6 years to begin with and buy it in 26 and then go 5 years on there so the trucks are staggered.
I mean,
there's all sorts of options that you can play with on the thing, but the thing that impresses me is that there's a chunk of money's got to go into this equipment. I mean, a chunk of money. We're talking a little bit more than what we've done in the past few years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how the select board is going to react to that, but it's an eye opener for me.
Yeah, and I think you're right.
Well, so let's remember here, though, I mean, yes, it's an eye opener, but we also need to be ready to explain why the numbers are changing, and there are reasons for it. So we're accelerating two major purchases. That's one factor. The other factor is we also moved up the truck purchases a little bit, so that has an impact. And we also are changing the basic philosophy on the heavy equipment, potentially changing the philosophy on the heavy equipment. So those are pretty major factors to drive the sticker shock that is gonna, at least on the save up model, there's a pretty big immediate term sticker shock.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Scott. I do like the idea that Neil put out there of staggering those truck purchases though, because that would relieve some of that pressure on the debt there, 2025, that negative balance. And if we did that going into the future, would help to ease that level of funding a little bit, I would think.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I guess it's okay to do that, but I'm not opposed to doing that. But every time we from a planning standpoint, I think we should distinguish between what we would write up in our narrative that the select board could exercise at its own discretion versus what is part of the plan. Because in that case, if it's, I guess it's just a one-time adjustment, right? Where we're,
It's just a one time, and it's and it might be necessary just to get the finances to even out a little bit.
Right, right. So you're just doing a one time adjustment for one truck to be at 6 years.
Right, and then they can go back to five because they're going to be staggered from that point forward.
Yeah, I got you.
So just a one time, you know, 6 years on one truck at the beginning.
Is it how difficult is it to do these across these four scenarios on the fly to do something like that?
So, yeah, I have to go back to the other spreadsheet with all the tabs and.
Right.
It's easy to do. They change the year, but then I got to then cut and paste it into this one.
Right. Right.
I don't think it's probably about 15 minutes of work, but
yeah. Okay. So let's not do that then. We'll have to do that on the side. Is there,
but I would think if we did that and we put whatever, you know, you could set it up maybe to plug and play different appreciation values into the taxes. Then maybe we could start, you know, like John suggested, like, you know, maybe that does end up at 150, you know, in 2022, and by 2037, it's up to 200 or something like that. But
I'm not sure that this is a model that we're presenting to the board so they can determine if they want to finance or they want to buy. It's showing what the total cost is to buy, and if you take the total cost and divide it by the years, you come up with an annual amount to run the business. So I, you know, the select board can do that by themselves or we can change it. I don't know as it's really that one way or the other. I'm
just thinking like
you're going to change the.
I'm not a great numbers person, so bear with me here. But you know, it just seems that if we're paying 175 now, we're making up for the reduced value of that money in the future. I mean, we're sort of paying way ahead on it rather than tracking it. Does that make sense? Like we're paying to cover the cost in 2036. We're paying extra because of the reduced value of that 175 in 2035 compared to what it is now. Does that make sense?
The other part of the equation, Hunter, is the select boards are going to decide whether they lease or whether they buy, and then they're going to decide what that number is. They may not put in 170. They may not put in 140 for the loan. So once then that's going to change everything as well. So
the select board doesn't. So there are a range of options in here, right? So in all of these, you don't necessarily have to do a level contribution. Like for instance, under the loan, the select board could, based upon the plan, figure out under the payout line, which I think is line 29, that's what they would need to program into the budget each year. So it doesn't have to be that level amount, or they could put a level amount like 140. But those are options that the select board can entertain. I think and this is always part of the process, is the select board has to take into account not just the highway capital plan, but what's going on with the overall budget. And if there are other budgetary pressures in a given year, that may sway the select board to, you know, choose one option over the other. I don't mean from a loan versus a save up. I mean from which line within each of those that it would follow.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just going back to Neil's comment about this select board maybe would prefer, you know, an amount that's more or less the same from year to year, so it's very predictable. So you know, you could say in that first option 175 every year, and then you have nothing to worry about for
a long time.
For a long time. You know, or you could say, you know, you could start off at 150 and increase 1% a year or something like that. And that's very predictable. Like you can just map that out, as opposed to like going to that line, you know, 10 or line 29, where it bounces all over the place.
Right.
You know, it would give a higher level of predictability.
Right.
From year to year.
The only trouble I see with the 150 for, let's say, the first 5 years is, you know, you're running quite a deficit every year.
No, I'm saying, but you'd have to, that would have to appreciate every year, right? So it would go 150 year one, and then 150 plus 1% as a cumulative appreciation.
Yeah, that's not going to get you out of that.
Yeah, even so, maybe it's 155 then, but it's still.
But you're still showing it as a level funding. I'm saying that next year it's not going to be 155. It's going to be slightly higher.
Yeah, but Hunter, even if you do a graduated amount, it would be a higher number to make up for that near term.
Right, but I'm just saying, like if you could add formulas to that line, what is that line 14, that tax line, that shows an appreciated value from year to year, then you could play around with the numbers. I mean, maybe it only, you know, maybe you're only at 172 or something by doing that. I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, it would be interesting to see if.
Right. If
you increase it by 3% a year, you know, what does that look like or whatever? Okay. But I'm just saying that we're making up for the loss of that value of that 175 in year whenever, you know, year 2035 by paying more now.
Right. I understand. So it's basically figuring out what that baseline is and moving it upward on some formulaic,
way. I mean, we're essentially covering the appreciation of the equipment
now
instead of just tracking it along with the equipment.
Right. Which is kind of, again, going back, we had that built into our last models. So that would be consistent with what we've done in the past. But still, we'd have to also calculate at the same time how to make up for those 2023 and 2025.
But I think what I'm saying is, if you stagger the purchases, so you move one of those to 2026.
John Rickerson, can you take that 149,803 and just move it over to 26? I know it's not the right number because it's going to be another year, but let's just move that 149,803 over to column O under 2026. Yeah. Now you've done it. And yeah, then the 166 over at 2030 goes to 2031. 165, yeah. I guess it is.
Yeah, look at what that does.
I mean, the numbers are going to, the actual numbers would be a little different because you've got another year of inflation and a little less on trade, but that's basically what you're doing. Now you've staggered the trucks and.
I mean, just doing that, you could probably drop that tax contribution, but if you tracked the inflation on that tax contribution as well, you know what I'm saying? It could start off lower and end up higher, but that makes a huge difference right there.
The problem we have with the first scenario is 2023, we need 277,000 for a grader. And if we leave the grader trading at 2023, I mean, it's just, it don't matter where, I played around with it a little bit. It don't matter where you put that sucker. It's going to break the bank.
Yeah.
Which brings up the point of, geez, maybe leasing or rent or borrowing the money on that makes some sense because you don't have that big hit of a quarter of $1 million when you've only got 100,000 in the bank to begin with. Well, 130, but There's nothing in my spreadsheet that's protected, so you can play with numbers to your heart's content. Even changing that amount of taxes, you don't have to use that level funding calculator that I've got. Change any one of those numbers to whatever you think is a good number, and you still end up with the reserve, what's in the reserve. And if it's negative, you got to do something different.
And you can do the same with the loan amount, loan payments. The only Absolutely. Tricky part is, calculating the future values, but they don't change that tremendously. So you could shift them left or right a little bit.
So I'm seeing in this second scenario here, that's loan, right? And so that would save us $35,000 annually in tax contribution by going that route?
It would, with the level funding, and you'd end up total having paid 2.5 versus 3 million in total over that period of time. So the taxes are what we're taking in from the taxpayers, but the cash out is what going out the door from the town. But this is that, when this starts to go negative here and then starts to grow, I mean, that's exactly the example I was trying to show in that theoretical sheet. Happens to be with the numbers we've been playing with, it catches up with you, in about, 13, 14 years.
So, one way to think about it is like 10 years out or whatever, 20, 32, you just increase that contribution.
Yeah.
If you're not doing it year by year, with inflation.
Yeah.
The other thing that's kind of interesting with the thing, you think you're saving a whole lot by doing the loan business, but you look at the total cash paid out in any one year across the, even in the 10-year period. Once all of those pieces of equipment are in the finance column, whatever, you're talking pretty good chunk of change, 60, 160, 180, 153, whatever. That's something that I didn't realize. When you put all pieces of equipment together on a thing, it's, there's just no way that you can do what we've been doing in the past and keep the equipment on this schedule. What we've done, been able to do, I guess, in the past is to patch together a schedule or trade vehicles or get new vehicles or not get new vehicles whenever there was a necessity. And we just limped along that way with no good plan out through the future.
Neil, I'm not grasping what you're referring to on. Are you talking about row 29?
Yeah. Loan paid out.
Can you do the average on that, John?
Sure. The average over the full.
Yeah.
Period. So yeah. It 153,467.
And what is it for row 10?
$184,788.
Okay. So to me, that's what matters is not Because there's going to, the difference between the two is you've got big ups and downs.
It's almost 30,000. So same as the difference in the tax contribution.
Right. Yeah. The difference I think that Neil's referring to is that there are big spikes, big ups and downs in the save up model, but you've got relatively consistent numbers going across in row 29. So I'm not surprised that the averages are what they are. But that I would think you would want to look more at the average than you would individual years in there, just because of the differences between the two.
But Neil, I think what you're saying is there are some people who may think that, you know, they may remember that, you know, there were years we paid like 40,000-50,000 a year in contribution, thinking we were okay, right? And we're sort of saying that no, it's really going to be 153 or 183 or whatever is what you need.
I think so. I think if you look at the average since 2015, it's like $65,000 a year.
What put into the reserve. Say that again, Neil.
I think our average contribution to the equipment reserve since 2015, when we switched to the fiscal year, is about $65,000 a year.
Actually, it's 112. I did the math last night. The average.
I disagree, but that's okay.
Okay. I mean, I'm just that 112 is based on the last capital plan.
Well, this is still quite a bit more in either scenario.
It is, and I don't know this for sure. I haven't run the numbers on this, but I suspect the difference in the average between what it was before the 112,000 and 140 or 150 probably has to do with the accelerated schedules.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I mean, I think we've done enough research to, you know, stand behind why we're proposing that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm personally not worried about, I don't feel worried about putting a number like 140 out there. The numbers that I'd be more concerned about in the save up model is, you know, how do you thread the needle in the next, I mean, you guys kind of did it already, helping relieve some of the pressure by moving out one of those truck purchases. So that helps, but you still I guess 2022 doesn't look that bad. But then it's really only 2023. And that's, you know, you've got a $70,000 number to make up for there in that 1 year. So there's a hit there. I mean, both of these, you know, you could make a case certainly for either of these models. You know, they're pluses and minuses to each.
How do we feel about, sorry, Scott, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. How do we feel about, you know, for the heavy equipment going, you know, 3, 7, 8 years beyond the manufacturer's warranty period? I mean, it may just be necessary financially. I understand that. But that's what both of these models suggest.
Right. And John, if you scroll down all the way to the last one, actually both two. I mean, another way to phrase the question you're asking is it worth whatever between those two models, the 3A and 3B, is it worth the added cost as sort of, call it insurance, call it whatever you want. Whatever the added annual cost is it worth it to have the replacement cycle match the warranty period?
Well, you can go over there, take the Woodstock model and go over to the right side, and it's about $220,000 a year to run the operation versus 170. So the question is, if Select Board wants to, you got to go out to all the way over the year 2036, where there's some totals that Neil has. Keep going.
That's, I'm off the sheet. Oh, you must, maybe it's on your screen that way.
Are you talking about the totals, the total amount, John, or the annual amount?
I'm talking about the annual, that if you want to run the, if you want to run the Woodstock model and save up, keep, you could go a little further if you could, John.
I'm off the screen, but maybe it's your.
Well, I guess Neil didn't average it, but you're talking about $3,111 to run it for 16 years. So you divide that by 16, and you'll see the difference between that model and the 14 trading in 14 year model. And the question is, does the town have an appetite for that or not? Or can they afford it?
Well,
so it's 2.9 million versus 3.3 million. Yeah.
Okay. So it's $300,000.
Yeah. So to me, I don't know that personally, I would think that we would write up a narrative to go around that to say, look, you know, you could do this. We're not necessarily saying you should, but you could go this route. The downside is it's got a bigger price tag. The upside is you're not risking anything beyond the manufacturer's warranty period. And so you're, all equipment, trucks and heavy equipment, are getting turned in and replaced in keeping with the manufacturer's warranties. So that's a pretty, the other thing too, just to remind you guys that, you know, there's some math that we're not doing here that we don't really have the capability to do in our analysis, but that article, I don't know if you guys got a chance to read that Caterpillar article. Jimmy, I hope I copied you on that.
Yeah, you did. I read it.
Yeah. So there's some math here that we're not doing that, again, we don't really have the capability to do, which is, you know, what is there a maintenance cost advantage? And in that article, it basically made the argument that you could, I'd be willing to bet that if we did have the capability to do that analysis on maintenance, the extra cost for the, you know, 3A and 3B or whatever these are, is offset at least in part by whatever the reduction of the maintenance costs are based upon that article, like, which was $5 an hour. So you could extrapolate based on, you know, 400 hours a year times $5 is $2,000. So it's not a ton of money because we're only talking about one grader, right? So it's not a lot of money, but it is real money. So there is a little bit of math here that helps offset the added cost under 3A and 3B.
And I would just
for both the loader and the grader, and actually the excavator.
I was just going to say another way to look at that, maybe, is if we like these level funding estimates, just as a you know, sort of, this is the 175 plan, you know, save up, and this is the 190 plan, save up. Is it worth $15,000 a year difference as far as what we're going to ask, you know, for
right
to have to not to be within the warranty period,
right?
Or to at $10,000 with the loan, the loan versus 150,
right? Yeah. You're effectively, the analysis is that $15,000 or whatever it is, could it potentially be offset by the savings in maintenance by not keeping it longer and running it for a shorter period? And the answer is yes. We just don't know by how much.
One observation here, John, not that it makes any difference, but there's not a lot of saving up on these models. I mean, if you look at the balance, the ending balance, there's a negative couple hundred thousand in there, but there's not, we're putting in we're putting in $150,000, $190,000 a year on that model. And if you, if you were saving up, that bottom line would grow pretty dramatically. So it really, this is really a tax. The taxpayer put the money in the reserve, and it may be there for a year or two, but we're not saving it up for 7 years or 5 years. But it probably doesn't make a difference. It's just different than that other model that you ran.
Yeah, I agree, because these are kicking in every year, basically it eats up that that different amount. And that I think it also is why this sort of $40,000 difference or whatever it is, $30,000, $40,000, whatever.
So just to try and move this along, I would suggest, if you all are amenable to it, that why not put forward all four of these and then build the narrative around each of them, like the pluses and minuses aside from the costs. And, you know, maybe rejigger. We've got the trucks we want to, it sounds like we're in agreement that we want to stagger one of the trucks to help, you know, smooth this stuff out. And maybe the other thing we want to do in tightening up these numbers is to do what Hunter was suggesting, which is to graduate the annual amount, you know, put it lower in the beginning and kind of ramp it up over time to get us to where it needs to be. And personally, if we do those things to the numbers, I personally would be comfortable putting forward all four of these and building a narrative around each of them and what the pluses and minuses are.
I mean, isn't it legitimate to say that, you know, just going with the reality that we're looking at appreciation and vehicle costs, we should be looking at some level of appreciation and taxpayer contribution as well? I mean,
Yeah, that kind of to your argument about graduating the taxpayer amount.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying is, why don't we try and figure out what that amount is, like 2% or whatever.
Yeah, because otherwise we're sort of paying it forward.
Right. Yep. Yeah, I agree with that.
The only thought I would have on that, I would agree with you, Scott, that these are good for the select board, but I would give it to them for the term that Neil ran them out, which is 2037.
I mean, that's fine. I guess I personally, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I think that it's fine to include the numbers out that far. But I think the further you go, it starts to get a little bit speculative at some point. And I think for our purposes, running it out to 2037 is helpful, just as Neil described earlier, is you want to make sure that you don't create some insurmountable holes out in that 2037 timeframe. But I think trying to fine tune it to a T up to 2037 might be a bit much. As long as we don't have any like major holes, like in the six figures kind of holes, I think we're okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the advantage to showing it this way is it captures two cycles with the grader, whatever.
Right.
And it also helps to kind of support the idea that we're presenting a sustainable plan, you know, I mean, who knows what's going to be going on in 2037, but just based on what we're showing, it looks pretty sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The other thing that's interesting with the scenarios that we've got is I'll remind you again that this is the first time that I'm aware that we have tied down the trucks, the loader, the grader, the excavator, and the mower to a specific time that we think is the best time to trade them. That in itself is a giant step ahead.
I got one question for you, Jim. Jim, are you unmute yourself?
Yep.
Okay. Neil's got the loader in there for 2022, and a grader in there for 2023. Didn't you have some thoughts about maybe switching those?
I did. Yep. Yeah, I seem to think that the grader would be the first to go and then the loader.
I was wondering about that. I was wondering if, Neil, you had some insight on that.
No, I have no insight on that. I just didn't like the idea of, I didn't know what the hell to do with the grader. Wherever you put it, damn thing, it's going to cost too much. But that's the way it is. I mean, I don't know. You've got a truck that's the truck number one will get paid for in 2022. Well, am I correct on that?
No, actually, thanks for reminding me on that. I think you actually, I don't know if you're confusing truck one with truck four, but truck one is the Western Star. And we just are replacing that now. Oh, is that what you're saying, Neil? That the Western Star's replacement will be hitting in 2022?
It's $153,956 that's coming out of FY22.
Oh, okay. All right. In order. Okay. Now I know what you mean. I got you now. I see what you mean.
So there's no wiggle room on that one.
Right. So that is.
So if you trade the grader at 2022, that's I thought it was better to put the loader in there instead of the grader. I just switched them because.
Okay, so you're just
that's another $150,000 that you just moved over 1 year. I mean, I don't know. You do it whenever way you want, but.
I see what I. I see your logic there. So, Jimmy, what do you think of that?
I mean, if we got to make it work, but I don't know, you know what I mean? Going down the road with that grader, I would hate to think that something might go on it somewhere in the future and we had to put
it well, on. Well, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, maybe the decisive issue here is if we put off the grader to 2023, does that necessarily mean we've got to pay I don't know, maybe we're stuck with it anyway, but don't we have a big bill on the grader?
Not as of yet.
So if we put the grader in 2023, does that necessarily mean we're going to get hit with that big bill sometime between now and 2023, or can we hold steady until 2023?
I mean, in my mind, you're leaning towards, in the way I'm looking at it, some of the stuff is going to have to be done with it because it's leaning towards more of a safety thing on it, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. So I think we're going to end up putting some money into it for it.
Do you have any ballpark idea? Is it 10, 20? I mean, I know we were talking 50 before, but that's everything.
Yeah. I mean, the motor, they would definitely have to do something. I mean, that would have to be really evaluated and looked into. But the slop in between the pins there in the middle of it, that's something that would have to do. And I don't have them numbers all right in front of me, but that was like 10 or 15,000 or something just for that.
So we've got some pretty big bills there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe we should run the number. Neil, I imagine you did it both ways, right?
No. Well, I did, but I forgot what it looked like on that thing.
Hey,
John Rickinson, switch the numbers.
Yeah, you want to swap them out real quick, John, just to see what...
Swap them out, see what happens.
Sure. this the right one?
Yeah. Yep.
So it puts us in the red under 25.
Yeah,
so what that's showing us is we put 175,000 in the reserve account and we're still 125,000 in the hole.
Right.
So you put 175 in the reserve account and you lease the grader and you put the $120,000 down, which is what you're going to put by the grader, the loader with, and you finance the $124,000 for a couple of months and then you pay it off.
There are all sorts of options that are available to do that. And that makes the financing the grader a very attractive alternative.
But John Moore, you're talking about a different kind of financing, some short-term financing.
No, I'm talking about if you lease the grader for 7 years, you don't have to.
Oh, okay. So you are talking about leasing it then.
You'd lease it for 7 years. You pay the $41,000 for a couple of years, and then on year 2025, you got $57,000 in the reserve, so you pay it off.
So this goes, which is fine what we're doing now, but this kind of goes back to our scenario mixing, where we're doing a combination of save up versus financing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's any big advantage to paying it off early. You might save a little bit in interest, but
right. Which is fine to kind of do that hybrid approach. I imagine that the numbers are going to come out decently.
I can copy it up there. I'm probably going to break it, but the lease payments up there starting in 22.
Yeah, see how it goes.
Get you out of the red.
Gets you out of the red big time.
But you don't have to lease the whole thing. You can put $100,000 down on it. Why would you lease the whole thing? You can put a down payment. You trade the trade in. Put some cash down on the lease and lease the balance.
Right.
I mean, lease any more than you have to lease is crazy. You're paying three.
So you could show that just by changing that beginning balance 131 to 31, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. And then you'd have to change the payment amount too.
But I think I got criticized last time for showing a spreadsheet that was a little bit of creative financing. But I think that's the bottom line. I mean, this model is not going to run just the way we have it. There's going to be changes, and the change was that we didn't plan to trade the grader so quickly. Number one, our reserves didn't have the balance because we didn't plan on that, and we didn't plan on having $50,000 repair bill for the grader. And so when you run into those situations, that's where the lease advantage does come in.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna just trust, because it seems logical that it would shake out favorably, that if we were to build out another model without trying to jigger things around as we're doing now, that these numbers would play out fairly comfortably if we're doing what we're talking about, what John's talking about, paying some amount down on the grader and then financing the balance. But I would want to, I mean, we're kind of breaking our numbers here, but I'd want to just kind of double check and have somebody run the numbers on that just to be certain.
You'd be using some of that 131 as the down payment that we have in the reserve now, right?
Correct, yeah.
So you're just changing that first and that reserve beginning balance in column K to say 31. And then that just drops that $42,000 payment way down too. And so you might be saving a little interest at the end of the day, but I don't think it really changes too much. You're just paying it up front or you're spreading it out. I mean, it's going to be the same.
Well, no, the interest, Hunter, is there's heavy interest the first year because you're paying 3% on $277,000, 3% on $277,000 for the first year. The next year's interest is the $277,000 less the principal you put down toward the $277,000. So it's a declining, you're paying more principal each year and less interest.
Right.
First year, there's a lot of interest, but there's no prepayment penalty.
Right. So you're saving some interest by putting $100,000 down early.
Yeah, but I think the select board may decide to go with the loan. They may decide to go with the cash, or they may once in a while loan a vehicle, or they may loan them all the time. I don't know. But if you go on Neil's spreadsheet out to 2037 and you add up the $2.7 million that you save and buy for, if you take the $2.4 million and add the $600,000 that's due on those leases for the next 4 or 5 years, it's costing more money to lease than it is to buy. It looks, if you look at it here, you think you're paying less money, but that's not the case.
Well, you're paying less money in these 16 years, John. It's that you've got you have a loan on your balance sheet at the end of the 16 years that you still owe in the loan scenario that you don't in the save up scenario.
You pay less here, but the overall, and you're passing some of it onto the taxpayers down the road. I understand that. But if you add up all the payments that you're going to pay on the leases, all of them, add them all up, you're going to pay more money leasing than you are buying by 3%.
It's not showing that.
It's not showing that. You add them all up, it's 2.455. You add all these up, it's 2.973.
Go out to the end of two. You have to do it for a full cycle on the grader, or that doesn't work.
That's what it's showing. It's showing buying another grader in 2037.
Where is it?
Can you see column Z?
No, I can't see it.
Oh, it's not on your.
Does that help?
Oh, I guess I got to get rid of this of the people over here. However I do it. Okay, so if you take, it's 2.973, but if you take this here, you've got one payment here of 38,150. So if you put over here in this column, put over there 38,150 times four. Put it right in here.
John, what you're saying is what I totally agree that if you run all the loans out, that you're going to pay more, and the difference is the interest. That's
right. And the total number, if you take the total number 2.4 plus about $700,000, it comes up to about 3.2 million versus the 2.9 million. So you're paying about $200,000 or $300,000 more if you lease the equipment. And I don't care. That's just what we'll disclose. That if the select board wants to lease them, they can lease them. It doesn't matter. But you're not leasing them for less money.
I agree, but I'm just telling you, if I'm paying out $30,000 more a year versus that one for 16 years, I mean, I'll take that bet any day. But that's me.
Well. You're passing it on to your grandchildren, and that's okay. That's what you want to do.
No, I don't agree. Because this, nothing is predictable for 16 years. This model is going to change in 5 years and another 5 years. I mean, I think anything beyond even 5 years is speculative.
Even if you take one of the trucks just for the 5 years and add up the total price you pay and the total price you lease, it's more money. We went through that last time.
I agree.
Okay.
I do agree.
All right. That's the one. We all agree.
The only thing.
I guess, so we seem to be, the thing that troubles me about this conversation is that we keep pivoting from different assessments as to what matters. So I understand where you're coming from, John Moore, about that you're paying more over the long term, but we started the conversation with trying to zero in on what is the taxpayer burden from year to year. And I don't want to diminish what you're saying, John Moore, about, you know, when you play it out to infinity, that you're paying more in loans than you would in cash. That's kind of a truism about financing versus paying anything with cash. But where we started with this in our analysis was that the number that mattered is what the annual hit was for each individual year to the taxpayer. And that's kind of our metric that we're trying to key in on. So I guess what I'd ask everybody is, what matters more? Is it the, what are we keying in on? Is it the 170 or the 140, or is it the cumulative ultimate out to infinity, what we're going to pay for each piece of equipment? Because I kind of, this is a reminiscent of the conversation we had last year, is that at some point out into the future, things just start to get pretty speculative. None of us know what's going to happen even 10 years from now. I remember last year when we got to this point in the planning last year, and I'm just being a little bit facetious here, but I remember Hunter even saying, we might have self-driving trucks by that point in time. So who knows what the technology will be. And the point I think then was, we're gonna have to revisit the capital plan on a periodic basis anyway, and make whatever appropriate adjustments. But based upon what we know now, this is the best set of data we have. And the number that matters for the near term is that annual hit to the taxpayer. That's what I thought we were trying to zero in on.
Well, I don't disagree that you're looking for a hit for the taxpayers, but I guess if I had to pay at the end of the year, at the end of the up to 2037, if I had to pay $300,000 more to John Deere to finance it, it would be somehow would be better off if I could figure out a way to put $300,000 in the bank and not pay it out to John Deere. If I think about these leases, businesses lease, probably Eric Chase leases because he doesn't have the money to buy it. That's number one. Number two, he can write the lease off and take advantage of that. And number three, these dealers get kickbacks on leasing, so they push leasing. You go in to buy a car, the first thing out of somebody's mouth is, what's your payment? What payment do you need? And they'll finance it for 84 months or whatever it is. And most people, probably a lot of people, pay 29% APR on their credit cards, so they think nothing about paying 3% APR to a John Deere. But 300,000, and I'm not talking infinity, I'm talking 16 years. And that's pretty clear that if you, as Neil said, if you add up the Woodstock model where everything is being leased and everything is being bought, there's a little bit of a, and I think John Rickardson said it, there's a windfall here that because you've already bought the trucks and for cash and you're not leasing anything, but you have to be truthful about the fact that you're paying John Deere $300,000 for the privilege of leasing. And that's okay if that's what you want to do, but that's money that's not in, it's not going to buy a grader. It's not going to in the bank for the town of Pomfret. it's going out for lease payments. So, you know, that's the fact of life. And
it is a fact of life, John, and I agree with you 100%. There is an interest charge on that. But the other fact of life is we got a grader that needs to be traded and we don't have the money.
Well, there's another. So, you know, unfortunately, it's hard to get other towns to talk, but I guess there's a reason why other towns pursue the financing approach. You know, Woodstock does, Weathersfield does, Manchester does. There are a number of Vermont towns that use the financing model to buy their trucks and heavy equipment. And so presumably they've gone through the same discussions we're going through now. And while I feel like every time we get into this conversation about, I think we all know and we all agree that if you play it all the way out to the end, financing costs more. But that, it seems like we keep getting wrapped around the axle that, and therefore, because it does cost more, it's a bad idea. But there has to be, and there are good reasons for financing, and there are advantages to it. And I think, I feel like every time we get in these conversations, we end up in this place where we're saying, it ultimately costs more to finance, therefore it's a bad idea.
No, I think the financing is a good idea if you get caught with your pants down and something breaks down, something burns up, just like the grader we're trying to, there's a place for financing, but I don't think it's apple pie and ice cream. I don't think it's all the time. But if the town wants to lease and the select board wants to lease, that's fine. But I think we need to, as a committee, disclose the deferred payment price, just like you do when you buy a car. When you buy a car, and whatever rate it is, it's in big letters down at the bottom that the deferred payment price is probably $2,000 or $3,000 more than the price of the car.
Nobody is disagreeing with you.
Okay,
on that.
Nobody
is disagreeing with you. Let's
disclose it. That's all I ask. Just disclose it.
Nobody is disagreeing with you, John.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, I think what we're saying, I mean, you know, if I finance a car, it's because I want to spread the payments out because I don't have the capability to pay for it all at once or whatever, right? And so, you know, the last meeting or the meeting before, we realized too that, you know, we're coming close to just, you know, two trucks every 5 years is a $300,000 hit, and the greater, however, whatever the frequency of that is, you know, is a $300,000 hit every time we do that. And so those are just big hits. And I don't disagree with you, John, at all, but about paying more money, but the ability to spread it out might be what's the best thing for us. That's all.
But I think the first mission should be to try to spread it out by spreading the years out that you buy it, not necessarily lump all the trucks, as you pointed out, where you got two trucks the same year.
Yeah. So even if you stagger it a year, I mean, it's 300,000 in 2 years.
But if you got 150 coming in a year or 170 a year, whatever it is, and you buy the grader for 300, all you got to do is save up for 2 years. But, or you can lease it for $40,000 a year over 7 years. So either way. I agree.
I guess what I'd like to suggest to all of us, because I feel like we get stuck in the quagmire every time we get to this point. What I'd like to suggest that we do is, I think there are pluses and minuses to all four of these, right? And I personally would feel comfortable putting in a summary format, you know, as best as we can present it, all four of these, and then build, just like I started to try and do in that Word document, build out a narrative around each of these as to what the pluses and minuses are around each of them. And then just let let the select board decide which of these is better after the select board takes in the numbers and looks at the pros and cons. But I feel like we're never gonna get out of the quicksand if we keep getting into this sort of what feels like a philosophical debate about one or the other. Let's just say both are just fine.
Well, yeah, and I feel like we keep trying to maybe go back to the idea that we have to present the optimal solution. And I think you're right, Scott. Like I like these spreadsheets that Neil put together, or Neil and John, whoever did them, are great. And I think they present a really, really good picture of four options that we should just present and let them choose or mix it up or do whatever they want with it.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Well said.
Hey, stop. There's another thing that when you give the four different options here, or whatever you want to call them, scenarios, you can give them the spreadsheet. And there are members of the select board that are capable of working on a spreadsheet and moving the greater to 7-year payments instead of cash, and fiddling with it a little bit and coming up with how they want to handle this situation. But I'll come back to the same statement that I made earlier. When we say that these trucks go every 5 years, and the grader goes at 14, the loader at 10, and the other two at 15, we have come a long way from where we have been in the past, because these are numbers that we feel are good numbers that make it possible for us to operate the town and have our roads in decent condition and have reliable equipment.
I would agree with you, Neil. I think there's no question. I think we're all of the same mind that the degree of analysis here far exceeds anything we've done before. So with that, I'd like to recommend that it looks like we need to do a little tightening up. So I don't know if John and Neil, maybe you guys want to do one last go around on this, just to kind of tighten things up a little bit more in what we've been talking about. And then since I've done this in the past, I will start to write up the actual Word document that has the summary version of all this with the narrative and maybe some charts. And then, as Neil suggested, we include the spreadsheet with it. And then that becomes our package that we deliver to the select board. And just, you know, we'll just describe in that Word document each of these four scenarios, what they say, what the total hit is. And like John said, try and put full disclosure on all the numbers and put all the pros and cons and just describe that all out. And I think we should have a pretty good product. Does that sound like a good path forward?
That sounds good to me.
Good to me.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, honestly, you guys have done such a great job on these numbers. I'd hate to keep picking away at them. I think just one more quick round of refinement and let's call it done.
So the refinement you're talking about is to move truck what? Two?
Moving that
1 year.
Yeah, moving the truck over. And you guys, if you want, you can play around with having like a graduated amount, like Hunter was saying, was either 2% or whatever it is under the taxes line, to rather than it being a straight amount year to year, doing some graduated amount.
What's a good graduation amount? It's a simple calculation, right, John Rickerson?
It is, yeah.
It'd be a minimum of 2%.
Is it possible to have a cell that allows you to change that percentage and then I would just calculate
that automatically? Because really, once we decide on what the kind of fixed amount is, say we say 170 in this case, then all you got to do is take the total of that and say what would be the payment on that at 2% for 16 years. And is that right? No. Anyway, I haven't got that right. It's different from that, but yes, we can do it. It's a fairly simple guy. What I don't know is how much this will goes down by.
Right. We'll have to see.
I guess what you do is you start in the middle and you go minus 2% going left and you go plus 2% going right. That's probably the easiest way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I bet it's not going to change that much, but it'll change.
And so you're plugging in the number for the middle, right? And that'll just give you that. Yeah. So if you go minus 2% to the left, plus 2% to the right, you're just adjusting that column S or whatever, right? If that's the middle. And then you just see where you end up at 2022.
Yeah, and we can make that percent a variable too, so you can.
Yeah.
You don't like 2%.
The other thing we should decide here is, do we want to reverse the? You already did it playing around, but do we want to reverse the loader and the grader, and just figure out how to deal with it, or do we want to go with what you guys originally had? I mean, I think Jim, just to get your input again, I think you'd prefer the grader before the loader, right?
Yep.
So
not a problem. Put the numbers in there and see where they come out. We're done.
That's easy.
I have no problem with that. If Jimmy says we need to trade the grader first, we're going to trade the grader first. That's all, as far as I'm concerned.
All right. Well, then
I don't know diddly squat about a grader. So,
all right. Well, then you guys can flip. You already did that a little bit, but flip that around.
We'll do it the right way. Are we going to leave the lease option here, or are we going to just talk about that as an option?
I would leave the grader in that year, and we can and the select board might look at what they got in reserve accounts or whatever, and it could be an option that we could say in our narrative that they could pay it down by the 100,000 and lease it for the 7 years, or lease it till this cash and pay it off, and but not put it on the spreadsheet and have it be in the narrative.
Yeah, I agree with John on that. Is don't do the numbers in the spreadsheet, but just address it in the narrative what the financing would be.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. So that option shows up in one of the spreadsheets. But
yeah, it'll show up. They'll know what the payments are down. And
so in the narrative, we can just say that, you know, you can take any of these vehicles out of one spreadsheet, plug it into another one.
Right.
If you want to show mixed option.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think another thing that we should do is when we give this to the select board, we could say, if you would like the committee to do that, change a number, make the loader on time, and or finance the grader, do whatever, let us know and we'll run the numbers.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. If we're going to highlight and I agree we should highlight the tail on the loan payments of 300,000 or whatever it is, John.
Yeah.
Then I agree that is full disclosure and I'm all for it. We also just need to point out that over these 16 years, the amount we hit the taxpayer for is, $480,000 less. So that's an important disclosure as well, I think.
Right.
Except somehow as time marches on, that if you're going to pay $300,000 more for one option, somewhere it has to catch up where
I agree.
Taxpayers pay more, I would think.
I agree, John. That was a point of my when we very first started the meeting. It doesn't catch up with you in 16 years. It's more like 30. But I agree, it catches up with you.
Yeah. Well, you've made me very happy, so I'm happy. I think you and Neil did a great job, and I think we've worked well together. And we all have different opinions, but we've got a good product here, so that's good.
Well, good. In the words of my friend, my good friend in San Francisco, who always said, declare victory early. Let's declare victory.
Are we, before we do our victory lap here, did we decide to do with the grader? Is it going in this year, 22?
I think so.
Okay. And the loader goes in 23.
Yep. Correct.
You happy, Jimmy?
I am.
All right. If you're happy, I'm happy.
I guess so.
Hey, Neil, if you'd like, I'd be happy to take a first stab at some of these changes and then toss it back to you. I don't think it makes sense for both to hit it at the same time.
You ain't done yet?
Well, the only thing is, I know you filled in those out years, so I got to look at how you did it. I like your numbers. I just wasn't sure how you calculated them, so you may have to fix what I do, but that's okay. We'll get there.
Go ahead and do it.
All right. We'll give it a shot.
All right, gents.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, Neil? Neil?
Yes?
Where did you come up with that, whatever it was, for the grader price?
The 277?
It's gone now, but it was 277.
Yeah, here it is here.
Yeah, that comes from the spreadsheet, the scenario thing that we were working on before.
I thought it was 256,900 after you took up the trade-in. It's 299,900 minus 43,000.
Yeah, that was last year.
And that might change if
this has been increased a year.
Oh, okay. So you're bumping it up for the next year.
Yeah, you got to bump it up. It's another
year. Sure. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. That might, depending upon what Jim wants or what it is, it might even, that's probably a good number for now, Neil. You're 277,024. Yep. Little bit of room in there because that one model that they quoted for Jimmy was a 674, which didn't really have enough horsepower and weight to go after these hard pack roads. And the 774 was a little bit more money by about 30,000. So was it 259, 260 plus 30, 290. So I guess the select board will have to send out bids and get quotes and all that sort of thing. So that number's going to change, I guess. But
if we move it forward to this year, though, do we get a better trade-in value on what we have? Will that?
If we swap these numbers, that you know, they're each going to change. One's going to go up, one's going to go down, right?
Right, right.
But I guess it'll go down a little more than it's a bigger number, but. Is it worth the effort or is it close enough for government work?
Stay tuned and we'll have the numbers for you.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it seems like we're in a good place.
Yep.
Perfect.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thanks. Too. Thanks, guys. Thanks, John. Thanks, Neil.
All right, we'll try and get this wrapped up in the next couple of days here. Hopefully before the end of the week is over, let's have a try and aim for a finished product.
Do you want to plan on a short Zoom thing to wrap up the narrative?
If you guys are good with that, yeah, let's do one more huddle up on the narrative before we wrap it, put a bow on it. You guys, if you guys are okay with Thursday or Friday, let's aim for then.
OK. can we have a draft ahead of time to review, or?
Yeah, I will start working on that. I'll start putting together the framework of it and some text around it. I should be able to get that done. Oh gosh, we have a select board meeting tomorrow. I think for me, the earliest I'll be able to get it done is probably Thursday around lunchtime.
John Rickinson, we should get those numbers tomorrow easily, right?
Yeah, we should. I was just looking at my calendar. I got a pretty full work day tomorrow, but I know I can squeeze a couple hours in either early or later in the afternoon.
Let me.
You guys want it?
I could work on it tomorrow for sure in the morning. Why don't you just let me give a stab at it?
Do you want to target Friday then to huddle up? Does that sound reasonable?
If you get us the stuff by Thursday, get us the stuff by Thursday then, Scott?
Yeah, that's what I'm aiming for is Thursday. Like you'll have a day to get eyeball it and read it through.
Okay, I'm good for Friday.
All right, let's target Friday. I think that should still leave enough time to get it. Yeah, okay, so let's plan for Friday.
Is any interest in 6 versus 7, or do we like 7? I'm just throwing it out there.
On what?
The time that we meet.
Whatever time works best for you guys.
I'll go for 6 if John likes it.
I'm good with 6.
6? Okay, 6 on Friday.
Is that okay, Neil?
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate all right, guys.
All right.
With that, why don't we call adjournment for tonight? Thanks, everybody.
Yep.
Have a good night.
All right.